Badgers heading out. They're on the road. They're going to be taking on the Nittany Lions at Happy Valley coming up this weekend. And joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Steve Jones. He's the voice of the Penn State Nittany Lions here to join us. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. What's the weather like there right now? Because we just got a couple of inches of snow today.
Raining and a mix of snow right now. So we have a mix going on here right now. It's a beautiful, tantalizing 36 degrees.
We're about the same. It's not awful then. It's just not what I'm ready for, I guess is the best way to put it. Hey, tell me about this Penn State Nittany Lions team. Sitting at 3-3 right now. There was much higher expectations this season, coming into the season after what they did last year.
Yeah, I think both teams were in that spot where they had higher expectations, especially when you have your starting quarterback back like Penn State did with Trace McSorley. They went in, they played Ohio State here. They led the game with 8 minutes to go. They couldn't hold it. Then the next week they led with 19 seconds to go. They couldn't hold it. And there's where the rub comes in. They were so close in both games against Ohio State. And Michigan State didn't win it. Then they came back and they beat Indiana and Iowa. Then last week against Michigan, they squandered some early opportunities, and Michigan, which was leading 14-0 with a minute to go in the third quarter, suddenly it became an avalanche, and that avalanche led to 42-7.
In the avalanche of 42-7, I saw, you know, look, things will happen. You get a turnover or two, whatever, but it seemed like Michigan just figured things out.
I like Michigan. To be honest with you, I like the way they play. They play build great complementary football. You know, first of all, their defense is really good. All right, so let's just getting Rashawn Gary back was a big plus because now it put two elite pass rushers on each side on the line there, that's impressive. Offensively, they don't turn the ball over. They've only turned it over 7 times all year. And they don't turn it over. And Patterson has enough mobility to take what's a good but not great offensive line and give them a little bit more time to do things. Plus the punter. Nobody ever talks about the punter. He's had 16, 17 punts this year, 50 yards or better. So the Michigan defense normally is on the field with a big field in back of them. And that was the big difference in this game. Penn State turned it over 3 times and a fumble. A pick six and a second interception where they had a 12-yard drive, a pick six, and a 48-yard drive, and that's just the recipe for disaster.
You had Higdon, who ran for quite a bit of yardage against the Penn State Nittany Lions. You've got James, you know, obviously you've got a good running back coming into town in the Badgers. I guess, is their run defense up to par, or is this something that the Badgers would look to exploit?
I would have said that after the Indiana game, it was a problem for Penn State because Indiana's not really great running the ball, and they ran for over 200. But then they faced Iowa, which really can run the ball, and Penn State shut them down. Higdon and those guys, Higdon had a 50-yard run in that game, but for the most part, Penn State actually did a pretty good job against the run. I think Higdon's a good college running back. I think Taylor's a pro. So there's a difference between them, although you and I both know that Taylor's biggest problem is then, despite the fact that he gets so many fabulous plays and he's so terrific, that he still has a tendency once in a while to put the ball on the ground.
Right.
Well, that hasn't been Penn State's strong suit. The last 7 fumbles the opponent has had in Beaver Stadium, Penn State hasn't recovered one of them.
Wow.
About that one, dude.
Wow, didn't realize that. Yeah, it's if you're not garnering the turnovers, it's very and yeah. You give the ball away a couple of times. I mean, we all know that you win the turnover battle 9 times out of 10, you're going to win the game. And when you can't garner that, man, that's a tough road to go, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, that's 18 fumbles against Penn State this season. 18, they've recovered 4.
Wow,
22%.
Wow,
I mean, it's an amazing thing.
Wow, didn't realize that. I wanted to ask you about this Badgers with the quarterback, Alex Hornibrook. Yeah. Now, we've watched him. He's got all the talent in the world. At times, he just throws it up, and he gives teams a couple of opportunities. Is this something where you look at him and say, look, we want to contain the run and make him throw the football at least a few more times a game to maybe put up a couple of opportunities?
I don't know if he's playing. I mean, that's the part about this that's mysterious. He's questionable for the game. Concussion protocol, and when it's the second one in 3 weeks, Bill, it becomes
right.
You worry about him. I mean, his sister went to school here. His sister was on the swimming team here. He's from Malvern, Pennsylvania, so I know playing here would mean a lot to him. But I've tried to watch as much tape of him this week as I have of Jack Cohn. I'll say this about Hornibrook. He has, when he's accurate and on, like he was in the Orange Bowl,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he really changes the dynamics of that offense. It's interesting. Left-handed quarterbacks always give you that, I don't care whether it's Steve Young or anybody else, left-handed quarterbacks always give you that the ball's floating out of there when you and I both know. No, it's not. I mean, it's an optical illusion.
Right.
But, you know, it seems like sometimes with him, his ball floats just a bit. But with the running game they have, the play-action pass game usually should be pretty good. And I really like the tight end, Barry Alvarez's grandson, Jake Ferguson. I think he's become a really nice target for them.
Talking with Steve Jones, voice of the Penn State Nittany Lions. Tell me about the East. You talked about Michigan. Ohio State has fallen off somewhat, and obviously Michigan State has played better than what their record indicated last year, and I really like what they do each and every year at Michigan State. But talk about the East itself, because that has always been extremely dominant, if not the dominant division in the Big Ten.
Well, it's going to be interesting as you're going to go through this sequence here, and I think you're on track possibly for a fourth straight year with a fourth different Eastern Division champion. I mean, Michigan State won it in 15, Penn State in 16. Of course, then last year, Ohio State, you might get Michigan this year. And that's one of the issues that you have in this conference is that you don't have an underbelly to go after in this conference.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of conferences have those weeks where, yeah, you're playing the game, but you're really, you know, are you having a glorified bye week or a glorified scrimmage? Some conferences provide that to you. Here, you've got to run through a gauntlet to get there. I think the West is getting closer to that. Northwestern's become really good. Obviously, Iowa's good. Wisconsin, normally year in and year out, is really good. So the depth of quality teams in this conference where you may be one of the better teams in the country, but you might not be able to survive with one loss or less. And if you have two, they're not going to put you in the college football playoff, and that becomes problematic. You know, you look at the SEC, you know, last year you had Georgia and Alabama, they played for the championship. I mean, my goodness, Alabama last year. You know, everybody forgets about it because they won. But their last win before the college football playoff final ranking was Mercer.
Right.
They lost their last game to Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to risk a 13th game in the SEC championship game, and they still got in. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, there's something not quite right to me about that.
No, I've never liked rankings prior to the beginning of your conference season. I've never been a
right.
fan of that. I mean, because we've seen teams that have played really well in their conference and have beaten up on really good teams, but they can't. There's no way for them to climb into the top 10 because of their preseason ranking or where they start out the first or second week of the year. And it just, you can't climb that high and that fast. So, I'm with you. I wish they'd revamp that system. I do want to ask you, Trace McSorley was the guy that everybody paid attention to last year, still pay attention to this year, not the same season, but when you look at the numbers, I mean, he's got 9 touchdowns running the football, he's got 12 throwing, 5 picks, a good quarterback rating along the way. Talk about his season.
Well, he's a special guy. I mean, I think every coach around the country would like to have someone who has the heart he has and has the mind that he has. He knows how to make plays, and everybody talks about the it factor, feel for the game. But, you notice nobody ever defines it. All right, well, I'll help define it for you. To me, the it factor and the feel for the game, which he has, is that most of sports is ad lib. Whether you're watching a Bucks game, whether you're watching the Packers game and what Rodgers does, you know, whether you're watching a Brewers game, there's so many ad lib moments in there. Hockey's like that as well. So many ad lib moments where you've just got to make something happen despite what's drawn up, because what's drawn up most of the time breaks down. Well, when everything breaks down, who's the coolest cat out there? Who sees the ice? Who sees the court? Who sees the field and knows where all the chess pieces are and then creates something out of that and makes something happen? That's the guy that has the feel for the game. That's the guy that has the it factor. That's Trace McSorley.
Going into this game, I mean, this is one that the Penn State Nittany Lions really have in the sense of just kind of, I don't want to say riding the ship, but just kind of feeling good coming out of that game against Michigan, obviously. And you want to kind of end that season on a high note. You got a few games left. Badgers have to have this one as well. They're still in the hunt for the West, and their backs are against the wall after getting beat by Northwestern. So this should be a good one. I'm excited for the game itself.
I think, and that's the one area about the college football playoff that does bother me a little bit. because I've been in favor of keeping it at four. I always have been. But I'm wondering now if they ought to go to eight at some point, you know, not just because of the money, because you and I know athletic departments need the money. But now you get to a game like this, and everybody's like, oh, what do you have to play for? Oh, you're both 6-3. You're both, you know, and because you're eliminated from the college football playoff, you might be eliminated from winning your conference or probably happen to be eliminated from your conference. Now people ask, what do you have to play for? And, of course, I always make the joke, hey, okay, nothing to play for. Let's quick go home. Okay.
Right, right.
So, you know, and that's not the way it works. And so you get into a matchup like this of two really good football teams. Wisconsin's record is based so much on injuries. I mean, they've had so many guys banged up. And, of course, one critical suspension, too, that's hurt them. And then, you know, and Penn State's had that run where all of a sudden, you know, you've lost two games by a whopping total of 5 points, and then the Michigan thing comes up. So, you know, Penn State is 5 points away from going into Michigan undefeated on the season, but they're not. So they've had close calls, near misses. So for each team, this is a big game because they want to walk out of here feeling like, okay, they're back on track in some way. Wisconsin beating Penn State would do that for them. Penn State beating Wisconsin would do it for the Nittans, too.
Great stuff. We certainly appreciate it. Love talking to you, and we'll talk again down the road, I'm sure. Okay, Steve?
It's always great talking to you. Great time.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks so much. There you go. Steve Jones, he's the voice of the Penn State Nittany Lions, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. That's the way they do it. That's the way they've been getting it done for 80-plus years. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.